So our next speaker is actually Dr. Linda Cassidy. Linda is a dual doc in dentistry and epidemiology. She attended dental school at the University of Maryland. Her public health training occurred at the schools of public health at Harvard and University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Linda is a diplomate of the American Board of Dental Public Health and is an associate professor at the University of Illinois at Chicago College of Dentistry and an affiliate at the UIC School of Public Health.
Thank you.
Linda.
Thanks. So I want to thank Peter Orris, who was not able to be here. Some of you in the audience have relationships with him, and he was originally hoping to participate, but had an obligation in Chicago and stayed there. But my goal today is to give you a fast overview of the extent of the mercury issue from more of a global health perspective, and during my session, I'm really not addressing any dental component of it, per se. So I wanted to start off with this picture to give you a sense right off the bat of this is mercury emissions, and you can see that it's kind of everywhere. I have nothing to disclose. And I'm trying to hit mercury in the environment, to scratch the surface on some of the issues about mercury and health, and give you some quick examples of policy and practice development. So mercury demand, you can see here, is at three different time points. And I chose these data to help give you a message about sort of the difference between some reporting that happens about sort of total exposure, like the yellow and for 2005, and the crosshatch there, or the diagonal for 2015, versus in 2010 reporting products. That you can see that on your left side of the chart then is aspects that are dealing with gold mining and vinyl chloride production and other types of production issues that get included in there, versus the orange shows specifically product, just to help think about some of these differences about where the sources are coming from, and that in a general trend, it's decreasing. Another way to look at it is the whole sort of a pie here, and that the gold part is gold mining. The dark blue on the upper right quadrant is coal combustion. So this is a report, Global Mercury Assessment for 2013 by the UNEP. And their description of the chart is kind of summarized that there's about half of the emissions comes from dealing with products that have mercury in it, and then about half of it comes from trying to make a product out of that, or handling it, which is kind of where the mercury in the amalgam is a big issue. Another concern is reinforcing this, where's the distribution of who's working with it coming from. And hopefully you can all see that we have different geographic areas in the world. And in some areas like North America and Europe and Russia, that there's actually declining over the time span, versus developing areas like Africa, South America, there's slight increases, but what we're really seeing in this concern is what's coming out of Asia, and that's continuing to dramatically increase. But bringing it back into the U.S., that we're not escaping from it, maybe this perspective where the gray is sort of natural background noise from a naturally occurring mercury, and then showing some natural events that have peaked. Mount St. Helens up here, the rest of us probably weren't around for the others. major events here, but also able to catch that there's different events historically have increased, like the gold rush that was disturbing to that area around Wyoming, but there's this general increase with industrialization. And taking that to a sort of a global perspective on population impact, there's several points out of this chart where this is more the production types of things. A little, the X probably look like X's. There are gold mining, and the little chimney stack thing is from ore and mining processing. But also in here, I wanted to point out that we're starting to see the concerns of contamination from these other sources are starting to show up in the Arctic areas, in animals that have seawater exposure that's collecting up in there. So how well you can see that these are, and we'll sort of come back to that area. So reinforcing again that a major concern is with mining activities, that the skeleton outlines there are showing these larger figures are 500,000 people expected to be exposed from the occupational exposure with gold mining. So there's, again, pretty global impact of what's going on and some areas very significant population concerns. I think you'll be seeing this several times, but that, again, part of the concern is that nature processes the emissions and it gets ended up in the water and affects the whole food chain. And so sort of regardless of where it's coming from, if it's either a natural source or an industrial source, it's showing it's being transferred. And the physical properties of mercury are beyond what we're talking about today. But so this is a hand-holding mercury that was actually used in a process with gold mining. And if you look really closely at it, the mercury is used to pull out the gold particles out of it, and it's actually kind of bumpy versus if it was just a pile of mercury, it would be all smooth and nice, but it's, people touch it, work with it, and it's just nasty. But and we see from gold miners are very heavy exposures, a lot of different health types of consequences that are quite disturbing and led to a lot of concern then of what was going on with amalgam, but largely neurological or kidney failure type directions. And some of them historically then, in honor of the Minamata Convention, Minamata, Japan was a major consequence due to industrial wastewater, very heavy damage to a large number of people, and that probably we all have seen some pictures from that as well, but very severe life event alterations as a result of that, and it started to pick up that there were fetal impact from mercury exposure. Another follow-through on the prenatal fetal exposures and of concern that Minamata was an industrial exposure, but here in the Faroe Islands, the exposure was from food consumption of the seafood, whale or seafood, and the children of mothers with were having different types of brain consequences related to the dosing that the mother was getting in her diet. So it's led to a lot of sentiment about keep the mercury out of the fish, but not the fish out of the mother, that we know that there are real benefits for fish consumption during pregnancy. But we have some other concerns recently. This is a very recent paper that's starting to show that mercury is showing up in other food sources, and the dots are of increasing levels of mercury found in the rice. And you will notice that in California, rice was found with very high level of mercury. I'm going to assume that maybe it was imported from Asia. But it's a concern that's really starting to show up as well. And the routes of perceived for how it would get to rice are the same as how they would get to seafood, that it gets deposited in the water and ends up in rice patties and gets transferred. But the focus on it has started to mean that we are looking at it, mercury levels now in Ed Haynes. This paper from 2014 provides an example of how it appears to be, the levels of mercury appear to be cumulative over age, and the females are there in pink dots and trying to represent actually an age range, so that at this being a major reproductive consequence concern, looking at females, and at this point it seems like females maybe are doing a little bit better than males, that the rates of mercury for females is similar or maybe a little less than for males of the same age. But and that we're starting to try to look at trends, and there have been some decreases in trends, but maybe some indication that maybe things are flattening out a little bit, and that this of high exposure level, this is the percent with a level over 5.8 micrograms per liter in blood. So I switch to trying to put this in context of what others are doing about it. So medicine's been working for a while on trying to come up with some alternatives of some of the measurement instruments that they've had, and that this was really funny. I have a research assistant who was laughing at me because she's never seen a blood pressure cuff with mercury in it. And similarly, she had actually never seen a mercury thermometer. But the medicine has really been working on trying to come up with better mechanisms for doing these types of measurements and to avoid the possibility of mercury exposure. And such that here are some examples of some of the policy development and recommendations that have been going on, and that on your left side is a document from 2001 from Ohio, already working on trying to get mercury out of the hospital environment. Two reports trying to look more regionally than getting out of the fish in the Great Lakes area, 2004 being prior to the treaty, and 2013 being within the year of the treaty, but prior to the treaty, and the EPA picking up now on we need to be responsive to this treaty. So a quick look at what the treaty says, at least from this big picture, amalgam standpoint, it's in that this recommendation here, everybody, all the parties are taking some responsibility for these, and that the added products part, except that there's a separate part for the dental, which will be discussed later, show some examples of where this is. And actually a bit of a caveat here where it's still known that it's not as the new technology is in some circumstances maybe not as working as well or to the precision that's needed, but the expectation that that will be changing, and that the focus for these things is on identifying the populations at risk for exposures, trying to develop educational programs and preventive programs, particularly directed at occupational exposures, helping to know how to respond to persons who have mercury exposure, and really collectively then having everybody buy into that this is a problem and we need to be working towards prevention of it. So the global impacts of mercury are definitely seen, and that we need to continue to evaluate how much mercury is in the environment and what we need to do to protect the vulnerable populations. In the United States, the major governmental entity leading this is the Environmental Protection Agency, that this is seen as an environmental problem. And that hopefully the convention and treaty are a good opportunity to work towards sort of collectively improving health status. So thank you.
Time for a few questions for Dr. Kasten.
I don't really know that. Anybody else have an idea of food products? I'm sorry.
Oh, I just feel like that would be a concern.
Yeah, it seems like again that policy. It would be consistent, I think, with the measures sought after by the treaty to assure that products are safe and that the parties or countries have to come up with responses for their situations on how they would want to handle imports and other types of exposures. Mark?
Yeah, on that same slide, you had some shading of the other countries, and I wasn't quite sure what that was.
This one?
Yes.
So this is ingestion of rice. So Asia they eat a lot of rice and they have risk for a lot of mercury exposure, I think is what the authors were trying to get at, and that this is a very great concern for a number of places.